which I haven't had in a long time. So it says, "Tarshik became Yisrael." So what does it mean that he got the Torah? He got, even got the oral Torah. So the Rambam, there are other people who say. So the Gemara says, "Kol Masha Talmid Olasik Asa the Chadish Nitn Lehomo Torah Misinai." That everybody, all of the future generations. What does that mean? So you actually have two Gemaras, which you could interpret that Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything that was going to happen afterwards. The problem, and therefore they say, if you say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what was, you know, that would happen to a five of us, so that makes you not be Kairos. The problem with that is you have this famous Gemara in Menachos. It's Kaftes Amud Beis in Menachos, a famous story. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. So Rav Yehuda quotes Rav saying, "B'shasha Allah Moshe Lamarom, Mitzaola Kodesh Baruch Hu Shiyoshe V'Kosher K'sarim La'osios." He saw that Moshe Lamarom was crocheting. He was crocheting the tagin, the various crowns to the letters. Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Mima Kev. This is keeping you busy. What's this? Amarlo, so Ribono Shel Olam responded, Adam Echad Yesha Osen Lios Besov Kamadoros. There's somebody else is going to come at the end of a number of generations. Vakiva ben Yosef Shmo, and his name is Akiva ben Yosef. Sha'asid Lidro Shal Kokotz Vakotz. He will interpret every single one of these little doodads, every one of the little decorations. Tilin Shalachas. Piles and piles and piles of laws. Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Hareuli. I'd like to see this guy. That's interesting. Show him to me. Amar lo Chazor Lachorecha. Turn around. Halach v'yasha b'sov shmona shuros in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. I assume there were eight rows of students. V'lohaya yodea mayim omrim. He didn't understand a word. As in Rabbi, it was a brilliant. I didn't understand a word. But Moshe Rabbeinu tashash kocho. He felt he gechalished, as we say in Yiddish. He was very he got weak. He got very upset. He wanted to faint. Kevan shigia ledavar echad, he got to a certain point. Amrulo Talmidav, his student said to him, Rebbe, menayin lach, how do you know that? Says, Rebbe Akiva, amra lehen alocha leMoshe miSinai. We learn this, it all goes all the way back to Moses. Which is something Moshe, I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, you know, it all goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nisyash v'dato, he felt a lot better. And then he tells the story of Rabbi Akiva's death.
But you can tell that story either way.
That story can be cut as follows. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the following. He wrote down the written Torah. He was given all of the rules by which the Torah did. Plus, he was the hermeneutical rules, right? Kal v'chomer, Gzeirah Shavah, Binyan Avah. Big question: are there seven? Are there 11? Are there 20? How many other? Do we say in the morning? 19. 19. Are there 32? I mean, you got all. I mean, that's whatever it is. The rules of interpretation. Plus, there is no question that the things that we call most of the things, some of them are not, but so say the Rishonim, most of the things that we say are lawful Moshe Misinai, go back to Sinai. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu gave supplementary information which allows the Torah to be applied. Otherwise, it doesn't. The Torah itself indicates that. Number one.
You say the Torah. What Torah?
Gracious to Yisrael, the five books of Moses, because the Torah says in one place that you should shecht kasher tziviticha, as I commanded you. It's not written anywhere how it was commanded. Clearly, the information was not written down; it was passed on orally. Melacha. How do we know what's asur and mutar on Shabbos? Okay, we don't. We know two things. We know you're not supposed to light fires, and you're not allowed to walk out of your place. Walking out of your place is what itself is talking about is an issue. But fire is it. But that's it. I mean, and we know there are other things you're not allowed to do. And we have more. The Torah spends more time worried about what you're going to be punished with if you do it. But if that's the case, then that's a setup, because the Torah tells you all this stuff that you're not supposed to do. All the punishments, these horrible punishments, death penalty, car race, whatever you'll get if you violate the Torah. On the one hand, it doesn't tell you what not. That's the setup. That's morally impossible. So as a result, I assume that things like that are included. And then the Gemara says what the tefillin look like, and there's a whole slew of information. And then as time has gone, the rules were interpreted to. If I could say another Gemara, the rules were interpreted to have the Torah expand. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was apparently unnerved him was the fact that he didn't see the connection between what was being taught and what he knew, because Judaism had developed internally to such a degree that it no longer recognized religion. He recognized. And then he said, where do you get this from? Oh, it's derived from Halacha Moshe Misina. The implication being that, you know, ultimately, I assume he recognized the Halacha Moshe Misina, and that he said, oh, that's where it comes from. And he understood that this is an organic inside development. You have something similar in a story that is told of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's a confess of no. So the Gemara, along a similar line, the Gemara tells the following story. Okay. The Gemara says as follows, Daf Kafchesa Min Aleph. He says, Tana Rabbana, never Brisa. Shmonim Talmidim Hayulo Lahilo Zake. Hillel had 80 students. Shloshim Mehem Ruuyim Shetishra Lehem Shechina, Kemoshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were of such stature that they were deserved of the divine presence indwelling among them as Moshe Rabbeinu. Ushloshim Mehem Ruuyim Shetamo Lehem Chama Kishua Ben Nun. And another 30 were worthy of having the sun stop in their honor like Yoshua. Esrim Beinonim. And the red of the 20 were the average Joes. The most important, the average Joe, was Gadol Shebekulam Yonasan Ben Uziel, otherwise known as the National Shadchan. You know that Yonasan Ben Uziel, the translator of the Tanakh, famous story that they said that when he used to learn Torah, that a fire would come out, would envelop him, and if a bird blew over, that the bird would be singed. And of course that leads to a famous machlokas between Hasidim and Snagdim. The Snagdim Hasidim say, wow, what an amazing tzaddik, what an amazing kadosh, and the Litvak says, who pays for the bird? Okay, the least of all of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Zakkai was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And now the Gemara is telling you about Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, what it takes to be the least of the students of Hillel. Amru alav Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. They said of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Shilah he niach mikra. He knew all of the Tanakh. U-mishnah. Mishnah means all of the oral law in a formula that was formulated up until that stage in a formal form. In other words, the form that we have in this Mishnah as statements. In other words, he was a bucky. He had encyclopedic knowledge of all the information. Gemara means the capacity to analyze. It is not up until the time of the Talmud. It is not a book. It is a process. Halachos, he knew how to paskin. Agados, everything else not halacha. Dikduke Torah. What's Dikduke Torah according to Rashi? He knew when to interpret words in the Torah according to Rashi that were sometimes ordered with a word, with a letter, without a letter, and so on and so forth. V'diktuke sofrim, all kinds of extra things that are done by the Rabbonan. Kalev v'chamorim, he knew how to paskin kalev v'chomer. Ugzeira shavos, he was able to know which two words in the Torah, even though they ostensibly are not connected, should be connected to create a topical connection. Kufos, he knew astronomy. Gematraos, he knew geometry. Sichas Malachi Ashores, and he understood the language of the angels, which of course we know wasn't Aramaic. Vesichas Ashedim, he could talk to demons. Vesichas Dekolim, and he could talk to the palm trees. Misholos Kovsim, and he knew how to tell popular stories of the launderers. Mishlos Shualim, and various stories about foxes. You know, he knew how to play with art. It sounds like Aesop's Fables, actually. And it ends, Dover Gadol v'Dover Katan, the greatest things and the least things. Dover Gadol, what was the Dover Gadol, the great thing he knew? Masim Merkava, which means Jewish metaphysics. The Rambam would say philosophy, the Kabbalim would say it's Kabbalah, whatever the case might be. In other words, he knew the most sublime sciences of Torah, divine science, we'd say. Dover Katan, what is sort of like the negligible, relatively inimportant thing he knew? Havayis d'Abaye v'Rava. He knew all the machlokos between Abaye v'Rava. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died within 20, 30 years after the Churban. Abaye v'Rava lived in the 4th century CE. So how did he know Havayis d'Abaye v'Rava? The Pashup Shad is that he didn't know exactly that Abaye said this and Rava said that. He knew what the issues were that were raised. He anticipated them. That happens all the time. I mean, you know, the highest level of learning is considered to be to come up with an insight that had been said many, many years before. You say, at that point, you say, Baruch Shekivati L'Gdolim, that I'm happy that I, you know, came across something. I mean, I know my recently I came across I was teaching and I said something, and later on I found that the Rav had said it, and I was like, there was no greater joy. So that could be.
So to the issue of death, they would have known in advance between brain and cardiac when deathers would be an issue.
I don't know. So that's the question. I mean, that's not a machlokas of Ivarava. That's just a question of the.
They know everything.
No, but you're talking about things that grow out. No, things that grow out of the study of the text of the Torah.
And now they're trying to posthumously.
So that's the question. So that I will probably get to this later whenever we get to it. That's a machlokas rishonim. The question you're asking is, when you're talking about Torah, when you're talking about interpretation of halacha and analysis of mishnayos and stuff like that, you certainly, once you know the method, it's possible to anticipate a problem is going to come up later. When it comes to science, this already is a whole other ballgame. There are two different schools of thought on the question of can contemporary science, should we let contemporary science reject or override explicit statements in the Gemara? So there are those today who say, no, under no circumstances, that's it. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, in his introduction in his Ma'amar al Rashot Chazal, in his introduction to the understanding of Agaritas, of non... That was not it. In his introduction to the non-legal parts of the Gemara, writes as follows, and it's probably his father's position as well. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam writes as follows. I'm just going to read you one line. The Rambam says, "Da." Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam says as follows: "Da, ki ata chayav ladat. You really need to know." Some person who wants to accept a well-known opinion, and to defer to the person who says it, and to accept his opinion, without examining it on his own, without coming to his own conclusion, just because that person says it, without analyzing and really understanding it himself, in order to determine whether that opinion if it's really true or not. Shezemina deot haraot. That is a bad quality. Sometimes deot means quality. That's hilchot deot. Most likely, or very likely, means, I'm qualifying myself because I know how many people have written articles trying to figure out what deot means. But it probably means a moral or intellectual quality. V'hu ne'asar miderech haTorah, and it was prohibited both by the Torah and the Gamidach HaSeichel. It makes no sense, and it's against the Torah. Now, when you consider the fact that according to medieval philosophers, the Seichel and the Torah are two sides of the same coin, so it makes sense. Okay. V'eino ro'ui miderech haSeichel. Why is it? Why rationally does it not make any sense? Because it means that it's possible that there should be something lacking in what you know, and what you know has to be solid, has to be proven, has to be self-evident. In other words, if you can have doubts about something you're absolutely convinced it's true, then that's not really called knowing. Miderech haTorah, and why is the Torah prohibited? It deviates, or it turns aside, not quite deviates, from the way of truth, because it's not the proper way to act. Why? Amar Hashem Yitzvarech, because God Himself said, Lo tisa b'nei dal v'lo te'adar b'nei gadol b'tzedek tishpot abitecha. If you're a dayan, and two guys come in front of you, and there's a big shot, there's the guy who gave $1 million to build this, and you have some ashlepper, and they're the litigants, he said, your natural inclination would be, oh, well, Mr. Moneybags, he's the one who I'm gonna fight for. What'll happen if the schlepper wins? That's usur. But tzedek tishpot amitecha. Now there's a double implication of the use of the word betzedek. Betzedek doesn't just mean justice. Betzedek means reasonableness. The Rambam in the 26th chapter of the third part of the Mordechai makes a point of saying that the word tzedek means something which is reasonable, evenly thought out, carefully weighed. In fact, what is the goddess of justice hold? What's the symbol of
scales?
They have to be even. Okay. So similarly, he says, so therefore you have to judge judiciously, which means it has to be even. Everybody gets it. Plato's definition of justice was everybody gets their proper, their right, their just desserts. By the way, the Rambam says, interestingly, that's the logic behind the fact that we, under no circumstances, can measure for measure, eye for an eye, because by definition, eye for an eye can never be even. So he says in the 41st chapter of the third part of Mordechai.
With this week's parsha, the more.
Yeah.
Why does the Torah go out of its way to say things will blatantly confuse? Are we going to have a pergamon that says, don't do that? Say things clearly so that you cannot be.
Oh, for a very simple reason. For a very simple reason, because the point is because the principle is eye for an eye. Sometimes the law will be formulated in such a way as to get the point across, even though practically you can't apply it that way. I'll give you an example.
The Hammurabi Code did do that, and in other societies they did do an eye for an eye, and it sounds like an eye for an eye.
Right.
If you showed this to anyone else,
maybe in theory it should have been, but it's not possible. And equity prevents it ever from happening. Okay. In fact, there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam's in one version of the Rambam in Hillel. I'm sorry, Barry. I keep bothering him. But in one section of the Rambam.
Why don't you just take all the books and put them on the table?
Compensation.
It's a funny Rambam. It's a funny Rambam. But the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Nezikin says as follows. It's a really funny Rambam. It's at the beginning called Rabbi Mazik. The Rambam never denies the fact that Ayin Tachatayin means.
Did Sadduqim take it literally?
No. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Here it is. The Rambam says the beginning called Rabbi Mazik as follows, where he talks about assaults and damages. Okay, this is a perik alaf alacha gimel. Zeshen emar batorah. That which is written in the Torah. Kasher yitein mum ba'adam ken yinatein bo. Just as somebody is wounded, so if somebody causes a wound to be blemished or wound to be put in somebody, in one person, so it should be put in him. Eino lachbol bazeh kemo shechabal bichavera. It does not mean that you're supposed to hurt that guy the way he hurt. You're not supposed to hurt the perpetrator the way he hurt the victim. It's nefarious what he did, and therefore he really should have lost the limb. Olak bolbo kasher asau, to do exactly to him as he did. Ulefichach mashal nisko, and that's why he pays a very heavy price. Varehu omer, as you see. Lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. The only person that you're not allowed to take a ransom for is a murderer. There's monetary payments. However, I'm going to skip a little bit. Later on, regarding assault. Okay, maziko lo tachusencha. You should have no rachmanis on this guy. You don't prorate them and you don't durate them and whatever, because the emphasis is that this guy really deserved to lose an eye. So you don't. There's no room for what's it called, judicial discretion. Maybe you'll be afraid he lies. He's a poor man. Vishlo kavani didn't mean it. Chaval bo acharenu lachavnera lo tachus alecha. The point, sometimes the Torah expresses itself in a sharp, maybe even extreme fashion, to underscore the severity of the infraction and, by definition, the severity with which the judge should deal with it. Okay.
But why not stated clearly? So
there's
no issue.
I'll tell you. So we'll get a second. In fact, I remember in 1996, I think it was, there was a big. They used to have Shas used to have these big get-togethers in the amphitheater at Givat Ram. So one there, they had a big thing in honor of in favor of Shmir Shabbos, and Rav Avadia became very emotional. And he kept saying, "Mechaleh mot yumot, mot yumad, mechaleh mot yumad, mechaleh mot yumad." People who are mechal Shabbos, they get the death penalty. So at the time, one of the leading broadcasters in Rishit HaShidur was our friend Shelly Yachimovich, who someday may reach the level of an Amaretz. But she got up and she said, "You see from this." That the Haredim are being incited to taking automatic weapons and just wipe out the Chilonim." And I mean, it's stupid. But the point was, so the question is, we don't have a death penalty. I don't know if any, there's no record, to my best of my knowledge, there's no recorded episode of somebody being killed for Chil Shabbos since the time of Tzlofchad. Okay, so what's the deal? Why not just say, put him in jail, whatever you do with him, what's the deal? The deal is that there are three goals are punishments, penalties are achieve three goals. Number one, ostensibly, deterrence. Number two, punishment, if it ever comes to that. And number three, and even most important, a societal value statement about the severity of the law. So, for example, there's the guys from Alei Yarok. I don't remember what their last. I didn't pay attention. What their last platform was. But in the past, they haven't wanted to legalize marijuana. They want to decriminalize marijuana. They wanted to go from being a felony to being a misdemeanor. Now, what does that mean? It's still going to be usser. It's still going to be prohibited. The point is that society is making a standard. This is not as severe an issue as we thought. In the reverse direction, sexual harassment, which is the favorite crime, the crime of choice today. Okay, sexual harassment was in most cases prohibited. It was never mutter, but by making it into a felony or worse, it's a societal statement about how I deal with this thing. So by saying ayin tachat ayin, I'm basically saying, if I make it just another fine. So I've said it less emphatically and less powerfully than if I were to just say it's a serious fine.
But as a fine, a wealthy billionaire can get away. He says, you know what? Give me the bill. I'll pay it. So what?
You always have that. But that's always going
to
be good.
Reduced to a fine.
You could do that with. No, but it's not an absolute fine.
Even if it's graded, I mean,
it's a sliding fine because it depends on who you've hit. That's now look. Now you're talking about the question of equity versus law. That's something else that the Torah talks about a lot. The famous case of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin is a question of equity versus law. But that's another.
And Zomenin witnesses, they do get punished exactly what they tried to do. We have a case of that.
We have one case of that in the history of Jewish people.
Zomenin.
What of the sons of.
No, I mean the halakhic principle.
Yeah. Seder. Okay. Look, I can't. You're right. But we would really have to. What we would have to do is try to sit down and go through Chosh and Mishpat and see exactly what all the different cases are. My point is that that punishments are formulated in such a way to punish, deter, and perhaps most important to set the standard for the what's the in a world in which we haven't had the death penalty in what? It's according to Chazal, 30 years before the Churban. So if we follow Chazal's chronology, 38 CE, so it's almost 2,000 years fully. So what do I care? I care because it's because clapping. I care because, and this is, let me put it this way. I've been watching a lot of the discussions being carried on Facebook and elsewhere about all kinds of contemporary issues that he's fighting about, whether it's Haredim in the army or whether it's what's going to be the Rabbanut and what's going to be Kashrus and Geirus and all kinds of other stuff, as if Halacha was simply a legal system. But it's not. The whole function is to live according to God's will. If the whole function is to live according to God's will, you need to know what God said is more severe and what's less severe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. We forget that. There's so much, there's a famous story about the Punavizer, Mashgiach once went into the base manager, banged on the tables and says, Rabbi says, on here, listen, Gefinzach HaBariyaglam. Ladies and gentlemen, you should know that there's a God in the world. You get so caught up with this stuff. I follow halakha. No, I follow God's law. And the way that things are presented are exactly the way you're supposed to be able to be able to follow yourself, and that in fact is one of these things about last week Cedric actually said it beautifully. We keep talking about I remember they were talking about what was it in one of the early Knesset when the previous Knesset, so there was some talk in Mavdal that they're going to start talking about sponsoring these Garinim Toraniim in all kinds of places that bring people closer to Yiddishkeit. And one of the leaders, actually he was my student at the time, one of the major leaders of religious Zionism, a former Tsar, a former Chak, was saying, Malagabe Inyan Eretz Israel, what about settlements? And look at it, none of us are, apathetic to settlement. I mean, we're all gun-toting settlements here, okay? But it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash that if you don't settle in every square inch of Eretz Yisrael, the God will throw you out. It does say at the end of both of last week's Sedras that if we don't behave ourselves, then the results will be umsimpatish, as a friend of mine once put it. Because as Rashi says, Ein Eretz Yisrael so velat over Avera. So again, that it's within that context that the power and the force with which the dinim are expressed comes to a force. So let me just finish this Rambam. So the Rambam then goes on and says so that Umenayin shezeshene emar be'evarim ayin tachat ayin tashlumim. How do you know that when the Torah says ayin tachat ayin that it means pay it off? It sounds like, as you said, we should just knock off the guy's eye. Shneamar chabura tachat chabura ubeferish neamar, and it says explicitly in this week's parsha, v'chiyake ishet reyehu be'evin o be'igrof, rak shivto yitein v'rapo yirapei. So you learn from mashpatim. You learn from the fact that you're supposed to pay the guy for his disability, give him work on his comp, and you pay for his medical expenses. Halamadata shetachat shenemar b'chaburat tashlumin. You learn from the fact that the word tachat means over against from a financial point of view. Vuadin l'tachat amor ba'ayin v'shar avorim. That's what he means. And then he goes on and says something striking. If he stopped here, he said, fine, good, made his point. The word tachat means In place, in lieu of, you go get Blue Cross or you go get wherever it is and you pay. Says the Rambam, ve'af al pisha nirim dvorim is halachavav. Ve'af al pisha dvorim elu nirim me'inyan Torah shevichtav. Okay. Even though it would seem that this is a, that the tachat as restitution or as compensation is the pushup shot in the Torah shevichtav. And this interpretation goes all the way back to Moses at Sinai. Kulan, the truth of the matter is that the reason why we understand the word tacha to mean compensation is because that's what the Torah Sheh Baal Teh told us to say. Kulan halacha l'moshe hein miyadenu, because there, okay, it's all halacha l'moshe Sinai. The pshat could go either way, either we say mamish or momen, either actual compensation or cut the guy's hand off. He says, and then he says as follows: V'kazeh ra'u avotenu danim beveidino shel Yoshua ubeveidino shel Shmuel haramati. I'm sorry. Kulan halachol Moshehein. Our lashon, our text says kulan Moshehein v'yadenu v'kazeh ra'u avotenu danim beveidino shel Yoshua ubeveidino shel Shmuel haramati ubechol beidino beidin shamdu mimot Moshe Rabbeinu v'adachshav. This is the law unto Moses that's in our hands, and this is exactly the way that they judged all the way back to Yehoshua. Okay, the Rambam here seemingly simply repeats himself. The Rambam didn't repeat himself. So I want to read you a variant text, which is even interesting, which is very striking. This will blow you up. Because I will admit, my Talmudic education was literally backwards. I first learned Moed and Kutchim, and then I only then got to Baba Kama, Baba Matir, Baba Basra. So I didn't see this till later. Here it is. Yes. The correct reading of the Rambam, and I'm reading here not from a scientific tradition, I'm reading from Shabtai Frankel. He says, Afal pishidvorim elu nirim me'inyan Torah shevichtav. That seems to be the simple explanation of the text of the Torah. V'kulan meforashin hein mipi Moshe, and it was all explicitly said by Moses. Mehar Sinai. V'kulan halacha lema'aseh hein biyadenu. That's the practical way that they judged. V'kazeh ra'u avotenu, and that's how we've seen them judging all these generations. In other words,
that word was not in the other word.
In the version that the normal version that we have, it says halacha lemoshehu, but in the notier says in the Justinian version of the Rambam it says lemoshe, and in the version of Maram Padua, who's the Rav of Padua and the first cousin of the Ramah, who was also rabbi, trying to make a living, right? He was in the printing business. His edition was lema'aseh, practically, which would indicate that really, in theory, you should, if the person was ra'ui, to knock out his arm and knock out his head and knock out this. Now we know from Chazal bent over backwards in the beginning of Achovel to show what to anchor this interpretation in the Psukim, and it's a very difficult series of Gemaras. The Rambam says in the Mordechai Vilchim, he says it's very simple. Even if that was the original penalty, it's not possible to do because you can't have, the Torah wanted my eye for his eye, my hand for his hand. There ain't no such thing. Never mind, you know, what happens if a one-eyed guy puts out a two-eyed guy's eye and you have to take out his other eye. So he'll be blind. It can't be. Equity is also part of the Torah, and it can't be done. So that's why Mormon. That would seem to be the Shitz Ramba. Other reforms will take the Gemara and say, no, halacha l'moshe b'sinai, that's the way you're supposed to read the Pesukim. Okay. But apropos, I brought it up because of apropos of your question. So in other words, so to bring it around just for the to end today, when you say Torah Sheh Baal Peh, it certainly is the Torah Sheh B'Chsav. The modes of interpretation of Torah Shevusav, Zerushav, Yinav, and all of this plethora of supplementary information that in fact was that in fact was passed on, without which the Torah can't function. It had to be there, otherwise it would not, it certainly would not have, but that's one of the reasons, by the way, we talked a little bit about this last time, the fact that a Navi is not allowed to give halacha. However, in many cases, we rely on passages in Nevi'im for halacha. So how does that work? The answer is, we don't rely on Nevi'im as legislators, but we can take what they do as an indication of what acceptable procedure, a procedure is, and work accordingly. Okay.